culmination tonight of this final glory in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. The final glory of the four that we see of what our wondrous Savior and Bridegroom has been made unto us, and tonight it will be redemption. As it says there, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Of Him are we in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And isn't it wonderful? It's all Him. It's all Him. Let's not forget that. Thank the Lord. It's of Him, and we're in Christ, in Him, who have God has made unto us. It's all Him. And praise the Lord, tonight, redemption. And as we'll get into that, oh my. And would it be tonight, my faith made sight. Praise God. And I am thankful that. But we've seen each of these living ones. If you go over to Revelation chapter 4, and we'll go over there for just a moment there. But in Revelation chapter 4, we see that company in those four living ones that we see is that company that is seen in the midst of the throne with Him. It's the worshiping company. As we see those four living ones go through Revelation, we see that those are the ones that rule and reign jointly together with Him. They are the ones that bring forth judgment even throughout the tribulation with Him. It's incredible. But when the Lord says that you'll rule and reign with Me, He really means it. It's not you're going to be a bystander there. By the grace of God, it's not the ones that see the Lord afar off. These are the ones that are like Elisha. I ain't letting you go. I'm going to be with you. Praise God till it comes. And this is just like with Esther when the king looked at her and he said, ask up to half the kingdom. It was even more than that. What's mine is yours. What's mine is yours. It's all ours together. And this is the faith He wants us to have. And it's the faith not in anything that I could do, because that's so beyond us. You know that. It's even beyond my thought. But that's why He's the one that's exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Is that not Paul's gospel? It is. It's just incredible. It's amazing what the Lord has for you, what He has for each and every one of us, what He's called us to, what He's chosen us for. He wants us to grow up, and He wants us to grow up to the place that we will rule and reign jointly together with Jesus Christ and be glorified together with Him. Hallelujah. And in that, we know that there is that requirement that we suffer together. But in love, you do suffer together. You just go through things. But there's joy in the suffering, just like anything else, whether especially as being a spouse. You think about that, the joys of marriage. But there are woes within a marriage. There's things that happen. There's tragedies. There's sufferings. There's other family members. I could go on and get myself in trouble right now. Got to stop this mind. But wake you up there. I got to wake up. Still my anniversary. All right. But you think about even with children, the fruit that's produced. You know, it most joy it'll ever give you, but it'll break your heart more than anything else too. Amen? That's it's what it is. When you're going to be after it in that regard, bridegroom, the wife hath made herself ready. She's occupied in every facet of that. She didn't say, well, when the going gets tough, I'm going to get going. She said, man, when going gets tough, I'm in there. Hallelujah. I'm going to take the grace of God and I ain't going nowhere. Because you know what? I'm in love. And when you're in love, you hang in there. You do. You just say, man, we got love. You got it all. Those kids that come in, I always tell them now, we're going to have a talk later on, a couple years, 3 years down the road. I know what's going to happen. You're going to come on in here. And I'm going to say it wasn't for the car payment. It wasn't for the big house. It wasn't even about them ornery kids. It's because you so loved one another. And don't you ever forget that. Don't ever forget it. That's what it is. So we're thankful to God that He has been made unto us this. But we've been seeing that, and as the Lord has brought us through this, in the seventh verse of the fourth chapter of Revelation, that bride, she's seen in four different types here. She's seen in four different glories, just like the four different glories that He's been made unto us. But each one of those we've seen are in that order of the beauty of what He's been made unto us. And then we see this manifestation of the sons of God as these this company, the four living ones, are shown. And it says, and the first beast was like a lion, the second beast was like a calf, the third beast was the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And as we've went through this, we've seen that the lion at the first, as we see there, that first beast, we go back to, he's been made unto us wisdom, the king. And he's been made unto us that. See, by faith, we realize that we believe the word of God, that we were born, if you will, these little kings, little lords of all. That's Galatians 4:1. But if we don't grow up into it, we just remain a servant in the capacity of what we understand, as opposed to being everything that we've been endued with Christ in me, the hope of glory. I'll tell you, that's one thing I don't want to come up on short, is what he's done for me. And I understand the only way I don't is I take all the grace. It's not of my works. It's just of that grace. It's just of that wonderful faith. It's of that wonderful mercy. It's just delighting in the Lord. Praise God. He does all the works. But I thank God that we just delight in that. And then we went to the calf, that he's been made unto us that righteousness. That was the second one. The calf. We saw that that righteousness was the lowliness. But he made us what he loved. He made us the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He made us what he loves. Because God loves righteousness. And that's his. Hallelujah. Then we went on last week. We saw that the man that he was made for us. And we saw that wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. We rejoiced in that Jesus Christ, he became one of us. He was made a man. He was separated from God. He was separated on that cross. He was separated out in the wilderness when he was taken out in the Spirit. Everything that he wants for us, he's been made unto us this. And he showed us this even in that life. And praise be to God, in that we know that that sanctification, that sanctified life, comes by allowing the life of Christ to grow up unto us in all things. It separates us out. We begin to live in the heavenlies. Hallelujah. And then finally tonight, we're going to go to the eagle. That's this redemption, the full overcomer in Christ. So as we begin tonight, the word redemption, and it has many different meanings, but we'll start with the first one. It means paid the ransom. And oh, what redemption he has been made unto us from the very beginning. Hallelujah. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. See, without the blood, there's no remission of sin. Without the blood, that debt is not paid. But he freely shed that blood, and that debt was paid. And praise be to God, we move right into the second part of what redemption means. We are completely delivered. We are delivered forever, not temporarily, forever. Hallelujah. We are free from sin and death. Going over to Romans chapter 3. And let's be excited again about what he's been made into us. In Romans 3, 23 and 24, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Thank God for that redemption story. We are just so grateful to God. You go on over to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. Tells us in another light of glory in this. In Ephesians 1 7. "In whom we have redemption through what? Through his blood. The forgiveness of sins. According to the riches of his grace." So we're grateful to God that we know it's not of my works. It's not of man. There's no boasting in us. It's all because of the finished work on the cross by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is the redemptive plan. That is the redemption he has been made into us. But once again, just with the other glories, just as with those other glories that we saw, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. Remember, they had a growth in each one of them. There was the beginning of them, but then there was that full maturity of each one of them that would grow up in our lives. Well, it's the same way with redemption. I want to grow up fully in the fullness of redemption, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's a redemption, I'll tell you what, that is the fullness of that redemption. And I'm talking about into all the powerful dimensions of redemption. The glories, if you will, of his deliverance. See, Jesus Christ rose from the dead not only to save me, but to give me all the power of his resurrection. Now think about that. He died not just to save me, but he died to give me the fullness of the power of his resurrection. Now you think, once again, just for a moment, all of the evil, everything that was against him to keep him in that grave. But it wasn't going to happen. Because God said, 3 days, 3 nights, I will rise again. And the power of his resurrection, the power of heaven, the Holy Ghost, the Father, hallelujah, all that power, praise God, and it's ours. And to know him in the power of his resurrection. And that is true, brothers and sisters, that the power of his resurrection is the power that delivers us from every circumstance. And I'm not talking about necessarily being delivered from. We know that. He's already made the way of escape. But I'm talking about even the great power of being delivered while you're still in the furnace. That's the most beautiful of the power. You know that his word tells you that in due time, he'll exalt you. In that precious encouragement that even in that fiery furnace, whatever it may be that we're in, he's already made the way of escape. Nothing's hard for God. He won't test us beyond what we can bear. I know we get to limits where we think we're just beyond, but God in his word, but God through his grace gives us faith to believe. No, Lord, your word is true. We've seen it over and over with our wonderful brothers and sisters in the word of God. He never failed them. He never left them. He never forsook them. Everything he did was for their good. Amen. And even when they messed up, praise God, all things were working together for their good because they loved God. Hallelujah. So we thank Jesus for this wonderful grace and mercy that just, it is. It's just this wonderful blanket for our lives. What a comfort it is. But yes, brothers and sisters, we can be delivered even when we're in the furnace. As the word of God says, we're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. And that truly is the more than conqueror. See, it's by faith. It calls those things which be not as though they were. Amen? And I believe we all have something like that right now, every one of us. Maybe to different degrees of whatever the world would look at, but nothing's hard for God. So by the grace of God, no matter what it is, no matter what it is in our life, whether it's sister's request for someone's friend that's on life support, or whether it's for a healing, or whether it's for family members, ones to be filled with the Holy Ghost, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to set my face like a flint to God. And I'm going to go in there and I'm going to believe. And as I was encouraging some ones today, I believe the word of God says, ask anything in my name and I'll do it. That the Father would be glorified in the Son. And I want to stay in that faith. And I'll tell you what, by the grace of God, I've seen him do it. I've seen him do it time and time again, and I believe him. And then when I didn't think, in a sense, maybe he didn't do it, he's grown me up. And then in his great grace and mercy, he showed me that he did. And he did it even in a mightier way than I wanted him to. And that's our God. And we know it. So praise his name. But we go on and we thank him. And see, the full overcomers are the soaring eagles. That's what we have here in this last one of the four living ones. We have the full overcomer, which is seen as the eagle, which is this redemptive power, this power of redemption that causes us to rise above every situation. Faith in love, praise God. We even soar onto greater heights as he takes us into the valley of the shadow of death. Only he can do that. See, man will take you down there and it's just a hole that gets deeper. God takes you down there, and in faith you begin to soar higher and higher because you're completely dependent upon him. He's shown you these things, and by the grace of God, we need to be quickened in how faithful is our God. See, these full overcomers, they do not see the situation. They see the power of the word working in their lives. And that's been, as you know, something that's been on my heart, that we see our lives through the word of God, that we see our lives in the word of God, that we see the word of God working in our lives because we're of the word. I believe that that's what the word of God told us, that we died when we accepted him as Savior, but yet we don't live anymore. It's that Christ that liveth in me. Amen. And the life we live now, we live by the faith of the Son of God. Now we're right back to the word of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, reminding us that it's all love, all a gift, all of his wondrous sacrifice that he Nothing was going to stop him. Heaven wasn't going to keep him from leaving. He was coming to die. That excitement was in ages past. The lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Let that just hug you a little bit, amen, of what was going on in the hearts of the Father and the Son. Ages past. Ages past. Oh, this is what's coming, son. Oh, hallelujah. The joy that was set before me, Father, I endure that cross. He loves us, doesn't he? So, it's the word that works in us. Those are the full overcomers that see that word. Those are those eagles. That's that redemption that he's been made unto us. When we allow it to live in its fullness in our lives, we know that he'll deliver us. The faithfulness of the truth that ever builds in our lives, and it builds us up by grace through faith. The situations that are beyond us, we know that God didn't give to destroy us, but he makes us more mature as we go along in believing. Amen. They're different trials. And our trials do get harder. They get tougher. That's just the way he does it. We're in training. We're in training, praise God. But it ain't a practice game. It's not a scrimmage. You're not sitting on the bench. If you're in Paul's gospel, you're out on the field. You say, Coach, I need a break. I remember that coach that one time I got hit so hard I wanted to come out. I went out there and I thought, okay, they brought me to the sidelines just for a minute. And I know I did. I cracked my sternum. And they're taking my shoulder pads off. And I thought, oh, this is about one of the first times I ever want to get out of the game. Then here came the tape that they started to put on my chest, around my chest, like this. And I was going, oh, my goodness. Get on out there, Odorcio. You got to play. You ever have the Lord tell you that? Get on out there. Come on. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Fight. Fight that good fight. Praise God. It's worth it. We get wounded. We get a little bit hurt. But we go on. Praise his name. Now see, here we go. The eagles have the vision. Now we're back to that redemptive power. We see that last living one is an eagle. And that we know that those birds of prey, they have a vision that's amazing. They can be soaring up there almost a mile in the sky. And they can see, you know, the hair on a bunny. You know, they know what they're doing. They can see different shadows. They can see way beyond what natural man can see. But see what the soaring eagles of the Lord see. They see way past the events of the world. And they see the events of the world in the word of God for their life. And they see that because of the enlightened eyes of understanding. Only the Holy Ghost can cause us to see that. That's what's called most holy faith. Amen? Yep. That's where you truly have that heart. You get wounded, you get hurt. Somebody might say, kind of maybe like Job's wife, curse God and die. But you say, well, where else am I going to go? Huh? Amen? Jesus loved them disciples like that. He encourages me when he said that. Oh, Father, what you've given me. He knew in about 3 hours they were going to sell him right down the river. But he loved them. And I thank God how he loves us. And it's mighty. It's more than mighty. But see, this is the vision, brothers and sisters, of enlightened eyes of understanding that see the heart, the depth of the heart of Jesus. You see the depth of his heart of love. You see his heart in the word of God. The word of God isn't a story. It's the words that are spoken to you all the time that it's real. You go through this life and you live in the heavenlies. You live this love story. And it's real. It's not fake. It's real. It's the only real thing there is. And it's the word that encourages you through. The times that you might drift a little bit is just because we don't live by faith. And that doubt comes in. Or, you know, the murmuring might come in. Or whatever it might be. And it's not joyous for the moment. But it's just a moment. See, because faith will quicken you. Just a moment. It'll quicken you, doesn't it? Might get a little bit down, but phew, here comes the Holy Ghost. Come on. Come on, it's too good. I'll show you another picture of your lover. Here he is. Come on, look at how beautiful. And that's the word of God. Whether it's, you know, let me show you Song of Solomon again. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about Romans. Let's talk about these different things. And God will always bring that faithful word. It's that cold cup of water that just keeps on coming. And we thank God for it. And that's why we want to be used of that, to encourage one another. But see, the full overcomers, they do not see. They do not see the situation. They see the power of the word working. They see the faithfulness of truth building them up, hallelujah, in that wonderful grace through faith. Now, his full desire and his purpose for us who believe is to empower us by his love to persevere. It's all going to come down to love. Because there's going to come times in your life, nobody's going to be able to do it. You're not going to be able to feel your way through this. But love will take you through. The love of Christ, knowing the love of Christ, will always take you through. And that's the only thing that'll do it. You'll see people get thrown by the wayside that have run well for a long time, but then who hath bewitched you? Well, at the end of the day, I have to say this. You can say who hath bewitched you. I know those legalists came in and different things, but I'm talking about them that ran well. You want to hold that fast. By the grace of God, to stay in first love. And love needs to be nurtured every day, doesn't it? It needs to be encouraged all the time. That's why when ones love one another so much and they get married, they don't go live apart. They live together. Live together with the word of God. Settle down in matrimony with the word of God. Saturate in the word of God. Let it love you. Let it know you. I mean, all of those things that God gives us, I'm not trying to embarrass you, but it truly is that. Let it be everything. You're all in all. Your joy, your thrill, everything. That's your Jesus. Amen? And we know that because that's what Paul's gospel does. Paul's gospel does that. See, you could speak of this to people that know the Lord, but if they don't know Paul's gospel, they think this guy is nuts. What is he saying? What does this mean? Yeah. Well, I just go back and I say, well, what do you think all them love stories are in the Word of God? Why would he put so much emphasis and so many examples and so many situations of type and shadow and metaphor and allegory, all those words that I don't even know what they are? But you know what I'm saying? He put them there for you. They wrote those things for us. Those stories were for you and me. That we would come to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That we would come by the grace of God to receive the whole counsel of Paul's gospel. And then fall in love with the one that was in love with us in ages past. So, how beautiful this story is. But see, his full desire and purpose, again, is to empower us in love to persevere. And to praise him now. And to rejoice with him now. In the midst of all these trials. That we live the glory that shall be revealed in us. Every part of our lives seen through the truth. The word of God. Every why of my life answered by it is written. Every why of my life is answered. Nope, it is written. Amen. He answers it, praise be to God. Now, it's been coursing through, if you will, all of these beasts or all of these glories in one way or another. And now we're to the culmination of redemption. The redemption of salvation, if you will, with eternal glory. The height of redemption is when our faith is made sight. Amen. Do you talk about a redemption? And the redemption for those, praise God, that will be delivered right into glorified together with him forever. And I believe that that's seen so clearly in this full overcoming eagle. But see, it didn't just happen at that moment. It's been happening in the full overcomer all their life with Christ. They've been living that height. They've been expecting that. They've been calling those things as though they were, those things that be not as though they were. We live by faith. I'm just expecting. That's the abounding hope. It's not an if. I'm confident in the grace of God. I know I have not apprehended. I know I haven't attained. I know by the grace of God, he has to give me the strength to hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take my crown. But I'm believing in his grace. Let me tell you something. That grace is more than sufficient. And I'm believing that. Praise the Lord. Now, let me back up for a second here. This deliverance was not, again, just at the sound of a trumpet. This happens time and time again. And how does that deliverance happen time and time again? We hear his voice. His sheep know his voice, don't they? And they respond to his voice and they hear his voice. Just like those that are in tune to hear the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. His voice. It's not something, wow, that was Jesus's. No, you heard that voice. You know what that voice is. And it calls you away. And you're gone. But it's been the same voice that's been calling you away all this time that you've been hearing and receiving and laying hold of Paul's gospel. You're in training. Your ear is trained to hear it. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. You're hearing it. Amen. I know people say, well, I'm listening for the trumpet. I'm listening for the trumpet in that way. You listen to Paul's gospel, you're listening for the trumpet. You get it? Amen. And it'll be right in tune because that's that faith that'll do it. Now, those that would rise up at his call, they're going to press on through the storms. They're the ones that didn't turn back in the halfway house. They chose the way that no one else would choose. They saw that the beauty, the wealth of the journey, there was nothing else that could compare. That's what Rebecca saw. It took her out from her household. And I think about probably most every one of us here today. Some of us are very graced that we have brothers and sisters that went with us. But I know there's many a life in here. You don't have family members that have went this way. You love them dearly. And I'm talking about households that, my goodness, that blood's all over that house. Praise God. And you're thankful for it. But yet they didn't have that ear to hear. They didn't lay hold of what was laying hold of them in that fullness. Just like Rebecca, you know, well, stay a while. You don't need to go. Just like those daughters of Jerusalem to the Shulamite. Oh, you're too much in love. There's other lovers. You're just, and then when they saw what she had at the very end, all they asked her was, return, oh Shulamite. Keep going. Amen. Keep going. He that shall come will come. He's coming. Don't you worry about that. He's taking care of all that. Hallelujah. Now, we go on. It says here, the ones who rejoice in that they were chosen to suffer with him together, they'll reign together with him forever. Those are the ones that cry, Christ in me, the hope of glory. I pray that's on your lips every day. Christ in me, the hope of glory, the treasure for the Lord. But now as we get this kind of to the end here, this is the best part. Our awaiting of our final redemption call, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. Know this, brothers and sisters, all of God's precious people are sealed unto the day of redemption. Every one of them. Amen. But what each of us will be delivered to is the question. Amen. What will we be delivered to? We'll all go to heaven. We're all going to see Jesus face to face. But what will we be like when we see him? Will we be to the fullness and the measure and the stature of him? Will we have grown up? Will we have taken everything to be that full inheritance for our beautiful Savior? A Father that loves us like we do, will we grow up those mature sons? I sure loved my dad. And I sure wanted to please my dad. And I'm so thankful I had that in my heart. But I'm even more thankful I want to please my Heavenly Father. And speaking about pleasing my Heavenly Father, we're going to get to that in just a minute. But see, redemption, this final redemption, will be when this mortality puts on immortality. You go on back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. It says about that immortality, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. My goodness, there's a lot there. We'd have many Bible studies just on one word in there. But always remember that word earnest. There's a meaning of that, which means the engagement ring. We've just been waiting in this. We're betrothed unto him. We're waiting for this. We're waiting for him to come. Just like that Jewish bride in the night, she'd wait for him to come. And he would come when she, with his friends, when she would think not. And that was kind of their way that they would do it. But see, they're waiting to obtain, and we're waiting to obtain our glorified bodies. Brother Copley says it completes our sonship. I love that in Romans 8:23, if you'll go over there. Read some scriptures as we go on out tonight. In Romans 8:23, it says, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves." Do you groan? Waiting for the adoption to wit, the redemption of our body. I do groan. I groan to see him. And I thank God, as it says, all of creation's groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. And those are those Helios sons. Those are those ones that are the full mature sons. Praise the Lord. But let us be reminded about those that are Christ's at his coming. Every man is going to be in his own order. And they're going to receive a body as it has pleased the Lord. So I can see some of you turning. And let's head on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's begin reading from verse 20. "But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." So praise God, we see that there is an order here. And every Christ, every man's going to be in his order. And that word order means rank. Know this, there are ranks in the resurrection. There are going to be ranks. We've, thank the Lord, we've seen this through Paul's gospel, all throughout the word of God. It doesn't get any more clear, I don't believe, than in Revelation, as you see those different companies in heaven at different times. Amen. We see them right in their perfect order. We see the one that will be there right at the Lord's day. Right when that trump is sounded, we see those four living ones right there in the midst of the throne. There they are. And it takes us from the fourth chapter all the way to the seventh chapter of Revelation to get the second company that we see there, in a sense, of the church. We see the innumerable multitude. And that time that's elapsed, it's not the first part of the tribulation anymore. It's somewhere between the trump sounding at the first and somewhere there to the almost the middle. But somewhere in there, we see there's a rank. We see that those four living ones are in the midst of the throne with him. They're ruling and reigning together with him. We see that that's a small company of believers. We see it's a rib portion that is his wife. But then we see very clearly, not in the midst of the throne, but the innumerable multitude stands before the throne. Yeah, it's different. And they're not in the midst of the throne ruling and reigning with Jesus, the worshiping company that truly has drawn nigh in fervent love to kiss him like a wife would with a husband. But this company, this innumerable multitude, they have palms in their hand. And what they say is salvation to our God, which is wonderful. I'm thankful for salvation. But I'm thankful I heard Paul's gospel that I know that is offered to us. Salvation with eternal glory. I want to be glorified together with him because that's what he wants. He wants a wife. He and the Father stood back there in ages past. Son, it's not good for man. I'll say it like this. Son, it's not good for you to live alone. He's going to have a wife. Jesus Christ is going to have his bride. And thanks be to God, we live in this age, the church age, the age of where that wife will come from. Be thankful. It's a brutal time. It's a very evil time. Matter of fact, as the word of God says, the evil of man will wax worse and worse. And we see this coming. And that's why we need the word of God in our homes. You need the word of God every day. Get into the word of God with your kids. And you fight the good fight of faith and do not compromise. It's all right. There were some sweet brothers and sisters we knew. They threw them on rocks and baked them. They hung them. They cut them up. They chopped heads off. But I'll tell you what, for me to live is Christ and die, gain. I like it. Happy in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. If he's happy, I'm happy. Praise God. We'll leave it at that. Now, we got every man in his own order, but there's even a little bit more. Let's go over to verse 35 of chapter 15. Go ahead and stir yourself in your seat. I know you've eaten way too much, so you can't get tired in these last verses. Trump might sound, I don't want you to get tired. All right. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. Isn't that something? And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body, that means you, as it hath pleased him. And to every seed his own body. Now think of this. The Lord's going to give you a body as it has pleased him. So I'm going to ask you, how do you please the Lord? By faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. So read that again. God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him. So I believe this is telling you very clearly, the body that you'll receive is how much faith you took to please him. Get that? All right. Let's go on over. Well, let's talk about that for just a second here. What's the possibility then of believing God? Well, you know what it is? It's all of Paul's gospel. There can be a glory for him which is known as his wife. Matter of fact, it's his glory. As it says there in John, as John was taken up on that mountain, that high mountain, to see that bride, to see his wife. And he had to look up, and she was descending from heaven, having the glory of God and her light. So, what kind of body can we receive if we please him? That body. Pleased him, praise God, the most all-believing, all-by-faith body. And what kind of body is that? We'll go over to verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, and there is one kind of flesh of men. There is another flesh of beasts, another of the fishes, another of the birds. There are also, listen to this, bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial one is not the glory of the terrestrial one. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another in glory. By the grace of God, I want to be that sun glory for him. There's no doubt in my heart why Esther, and her name means star, why she was pointed out so clearly to be that one that the love of the king to her exceeded all the other women. She was his star. She was like him. She had the same glory. Hallelujah. And what did he do? He gave her everything of his. They shared it, praise God. That's the first rank. That's this, he has been made unto us redemption. I want that for him, for me, for us. Praise God. The bridal company is groaning right now to see it. The first love aches in her readiness for the corruptible to put on the incorruptible. As we close this in Romans 8:30, how wonderful. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Clothed with his splendor, praise be to God. Glorified together with him. The ones that will suffer together will reign and be glorified together with him. Thank you, Jesus. This is the rib portion body. And her redemption, what will it be? Salvation with eternal glory. Her redemption, what will she have? She has the glory of God, and she descends from heaven with her light. What will she be in her redemption for him? Her redemption, her deliverance will set her in the midst of the throne forever with him. The blast of the first trump, his passion calling out to her. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Praise the Lord. I've enjoyed that journey through what he has been made unto us. And I thank God that that's what we have in Christ. You have it. You have it. He's given it. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. There's no limit to it. It is exceeding, isn't it? And it's abundantly above all you ask or think. You come in here, and in Paul's gospel, by the grace of God, it blows my heart and blows my mind every single time. It just does. How could that be? Jesus. 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 Praise his name. Let's stand and be dismissed. Praise God.